ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 67 of Beyond Retro. I am Nathan Kennedy, here with Joe Amato and Tyler Baker, who, let's get the jokes out of the way now, he's not wearing a tank top. Heads explode. It's like the scene from Scanners. You got like a family dinner thing going on after we're done with this, right? It's just so weird. I'm sorry. Because I too have gotten used to him wearing tank tops all the time. So when I actually see him in a shirt, or especially a polo of all things, I'm like, it's just weird. It's like when people wear shorts all the time, but then they wear jeans. It just looks off for a second.
Well, I get that too. I'm like, well, why is this such a big deal to people? Like, I don't understand the importance or significance that, you know, I wear tank tops out of comfort, you know, because it just feels very comfortable to me. I got a lot of like dress shirts and regular shirts to wear, but I just am comfortable wearing that. And I swear that people just will, you know, almost as if like it's like, Did you see who died? You know, it's like, tell us when
it's
happened.
It's like someone with long hair just cutting all their hair off and just showing up like, ah, hey, no big deal. Everyone's like, wait, hang on, back up a second.
Yeah, but I feel like that seems a lot more important in terms of like someone's actual look, as opposed to like, I'm just wearing a regular polo shirt than a tank top.
Man. How are your arms holding up, though? Is it? I'm just sorry. I had to.
Well, anyway. they it fits around my arms quite nicely, so it's hard to find dress clothes that accentuate, you know, my positives. So,
Joe, how the hell are you? There we go. Let me get that out of there. He mailed me some hot sauce. So I'm gonna be trying that out later tonight. I'm gonna do a. Emily and I are gonna test out the hot sauce. We're gonna hang out and chill with people, and then I'm probably gonna play some video games. So that'll be a good time, you guys.
Well, first I wanted to thank you for the new earbuds. He gave me quality earbuds to where I don't have to keep going to the Dollar Tree every 2 weeks. He said they sound good, but he says
it sounds like you're wearing a mask.
Yeah, it's like he said, now you can hear the mask or the muffling of the mask. But I was like, but am I at least loud? He's like, seems like you're loud. I was like, okay, yeah, well, that's all that matters.
I can hear you crystal clear, sir.
Now, did you go you know, puppies and kittens when you got that in the mail? Were you like, ah, son of a bitch?
No, he sent me a message. He sent me a message when he was like, did you send me earbuds? And I was like, whoops. Go ahead.
I was ready to make a post about it because it didn't have an address of anybody's name. So I was like, okay, this had to be Nathan or somebody that listens to the podcast when they're always mocking my $1 earbuds. So it could have been anybody. But yes, end up being Nathan. But I did thank him. And they're nice. And yeah, they really stick in your ears. And well, I can hear well. And if you guys can hear me fine, then that's good. And thank you. But I definitely, I don't need anything else. I appreciate it.
I got tired of you going to the Dollar Tree like every couple weeks to get new earbuds. I'm like, I'm just gonna get them a quality set and they'll last them hopefully a month.
Well, I think they should. And it is kind of sad though, the thought of, I still don't understand how the ones that I've been getting at Dollar Tree would just keep going out after 2 weeks. It's like,
because
they're
a fucking dollar, Joe. They're a dollar. That's why they keep breaking, because they are a fucking dollar. What do you expect?
But hey, if anything's cool though, at least with my Dollar Tree visits, is I got the uncut producer's cut of RoboCop on Blu-ray, and it was a dollar. And when I posted that picture, some people, I didn't know if they were just joking, they were like, you didn't get that at Dollar Tree. But I did, and plus then people started going to Dollar Tree. That was cool. So many people started posting pictures on my post saying, look what I got, look what I got. So it sent a lot of people to the Dollar Tree to get the RoboCop Blu-ray uncut version. And
I'm sure most of them left disappointed, because the Dollar Tree I went to didn't have jack shit as far as movies. It was like three workout DVDs and Take Me Home Tonight with Topher Grace. I'm like, what?
Come on. The hell is that? Okay, all right. But so I got that, and it was cool. I was just surprised. I was like, Jesus, a post about a RoboCop Blu-ray got over 300.
Oh, geez. Oh, look at that, Joe.
Who the fuck? Oh,
no, you post something and people flock to it.
I didn't mean
promote
it like
the
that.
Show.
Plus,
promote
just,
the show.
Just how many like degenerates like, you don't own RoboCop by now? You had to wait for the dollar to own it? Who the hell are you people?
Me and a whole bunch of cheap asses.
Not you,
like,
but everybody else. Like, oh, wow. I don't even own that movie. Where can I get it? What is it?
My favorite thing is, My favorite thing is when Joe's like, hey guys, he tags you and I in the comments, like, oh yeah, we already got this. And I was like, two actually, copies of it. If you guys want the trilogy, go check out your Dollar Generals, because I saw the trilogy on Blu-ray for $5. I don't know if that's too much, but you know, maybe you guys.
Joe's like, I got to save up for that. I put it on layaway.
But anyway, now that he has RoboCop, that is next week's episode. We're gonna tackle the first RoboCop film. So that'll be a good time, because that's a fantastic, well, like probably one of my favorite movies of all time, at least in my top 20, easily, I would say.
And let's say hello to our buddy Who Dat Whale. That's in the chat room. He's joining us. So thank you for being here in the chat room. So
Oh, I was going to say, Joe, you go ahead and kick it off, because this is a film that Tyler and I didn't watch until this week. Tyler, you fiddling with, like, your water bottle or something?
I'm playing with my Spider-Man monster truck car.
Oh, what?
My nephew was over here yesterday, so I brought this out for him to play with.
Oh, okay.
So just kind of sitting there, so I was just kind of fiddling with it. It's like it's my own personal fidget spinner.
I was hearing something. It sounded like you were just like playing with the label on like a bottle or something.
Oh no, you can rotate and flip it around. It's like a little transforming monster truck with Spider-Man on it. So.
All right, right on. That, they're really random, but okay. But
just sitting over here.
Our topic for today.
I played this stuff during the Fans of Power podcast, and you guys just now noticed that. What the hell are you doing over there?
I don't. Maybe it's just the mic's picking it up. Different. I don't know. I mean, whatever.
I pay $7 for these things. They pick up everything.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'll go get. I'm always terrible with the direction and the camera. Go pick up my Beefcake figure and play with him the rest. No, that doesn't sound right. Anyway, our topic today is The Last Dragon, which is a film that Tyler and I did not watch until this week. I've never seen it. Heard a lot about it. Joe is very familiar with it. So, Joe, yes. You can go ahead and kick us off. Let us know your experience with the film, et cetera, et cetera.
All right. First, let me say hello to Febmon in the chat room, too. Thank you for joining us. But, no, Last Dragon, I mean, that came out at a time when, of course, back in the early, mid-80s, anything that was, like, martial arts related was super hot. And, I mean, this movie had everything from martial arts, breakdance, and music, you know, references of at least talking about somebody who runs a video arcade, you know, the bad guy, but just... Everybody in my neighborhood just loved this damn movie because you didn't usually see many people that starred in a martial arts movie that were black. That's why it was great that you had Berry Gordy did this. I think it was Motown. I think Motown put it out. Motown Films or Motown. I'm trying to remember
if,
what
if
it was.
If I'm not mistaken, this is
Motown Productions.
This is how like Vanity pretty much got the role of Laura Charles.
And that's amazing. And of course, God, just smoking hot with her in there. But it had everything. And everything where it's like, if you wanted to be that badass martial artist, you wanted to get the hot girl, you wanted to kick somebody's butt. But this movie just had so many, just like I said, anything that was hot from the 80s at that time, that's just, it was pretty much shoved in the movie. But anybody in my neighborhood, it's like, everybody watched this damn movie. And I also remembered, it was a movie that, see, this is, it's going to show a little bit of my fuzzy memory, but I don't remember being able to find it for purchase, though. I could only rent the hell out of it. I don't remember, and if there's anybody in the chat room or listens to this, and you can even, you know, put messages in the comments or anything if you remember buying it, but the reason I say this is I remember I went with my buddy. It was a Video Connection store. They had it for rent. I asked them if they had it for purchase. They said no, and they said, but here's a catalog where you can order it. And I remember opening up that catalog, and it was $80.
That's like the video store catalog. Like, that's what those guys pretty much had to order their tapes from.
And that's what I mean. I wondered, was that the only way you could get it was through the video store catalog? I don't know. It's just, I just don't remember ever seeing it at the stores to buy, but I wanted to. But I mean, it had everything. It's a fun little story how it starts off. Now, see, some people I've noticed, like, when there were some people who reviewed it and didn't kind of grow up in the 80s, kind of thought some parts were corny, cheesy, a lot of stereotypes. I mean, yeah, did Berry Gordy do a lot of stereotypes in it? Sure, where he had, you know, people that were of Asian descent acting like they were black, or somebody of black descent trying to act like they're Asian. And like, even parts where Timok was, I mean, Leroy, I was using his real name, sorry about that. That's his name in real life, it's Timok. And some people had a hell of a time trying to even say that name. They didn't know how to pronounce it, but that is how it is. And he's of Italian and black descent.
Oh,
but he's a real...
Who would have thought Joe would have clung to something?
Joe's like, finally.
It's something I can relate to.
My representation on the screen.
Yeah. He got the skin color that I'm lacking, and my true ancestry. Yeah, it's just like that is the embodiment of Joe Mata on screen.
That's all Tyler ever thinks is. You're right. Every time it comes up, like
himself, like he's just jiving on the streets and just walking down, man. And it's just if we ever find out that Joe lives in like a little like white bread suburban neighborhood in Ohio. And he's making it sound like he's living like, Tony on Saturday Night Fever. I'm going to be totally disappointed that he's painting up this amalgam of like, rough and tough on the streets, man. Making dimes, bare knuckle brawls.
Tyler, I think you're also gradually like fading out of frame, too.
Oh, it's because my setup is all like, Dollar Tree. It's cheap right now.
Not as cheap as mine. No, yeah, because Tyler's like, damn it, every time there's some Italian actor on TV, Joe always has to say, oh, he likes watching Rocky. Oh, he likes watching Rambo. Oh, he likes watching The Last Dragon. It's like anybody has an Italian in it, Joe gets super excited. But, so where the hell was my train of thought? I had my Tyler moment. That's my first where the hell was I, and that usually doesn't happen.
You were talking about Leroy and how he was of... he had some Italian descent.
And just like I said, in Taimak, he is in real life. He does train in martial arts, still does it. The guy's still in amazing shape. I think he's in his 50s as well, and he looks damn it if he doesn't look like he still did back then for The Last Dragon. But when we were growing up, like I said, I never met a person that did not like this movie. But I watched people who reviewed this like a couple years ago who never seen it in their life. And they like to mock it. They said some parts were real corny, like I said, stereotypical and stuff, and the goofy effects with the glow. But I was like, it's just the story of what you're trying to see of like, yes, it's like you find out, yes, he is the master. He's searching for this master that doesn't exist.
Way to go, Joe. But, we're just skipping right to the end. That's fine.
Hell yeah, we'll get to it. But anyways, you find out, yeah, it's in him, and there's like a glow that'll show when he finally reaches the final level. But I love the damn movie. And I know, like I said, it is mocked. Some people say I didn't find anything great about it. It might not have been as action-packed as it could have been. But like I said, we'll just ramble about parts of it because I'm sure you guys, you might have not flipped over it.
I got notes. So, not so drunk notes.
Drunk notes?
Actually, no, not so drunk. I mean, I was drinking, but I didn't get drunk. But I took notes because there was a lot of things that I definitely, when I watched, I'm like, all right, I want to bring this up. But I think before I get into whether or not I enjoyed it or didn't enjoy it, I should we just go ahead and get this out of the way and just skip to Tyler and get his opinion on it?
Tyler. Well, that's fine.
Why?
Because. Let's hear it. or do you want to save you for last?
I didn't know it. I mean, I thought it sucked. I thought it was terrible. I thought it was a terrible film.
Whoa. What did you like about it?
I just felt it was a mess. Like, I just felt like it was just incoherent. It was just stuff happening. And, I didn't find, like, I didn't think it was, like, stereotypical. It just felt like there's no explanation. It's just stuff happening. I found Taimak to be kind of a wimpy hero. It felt like, are they trying to do an homage to Bruce Lee films, or are they trying to poke fun at it? Because I can't tell what they're doing, and if they're trying to be funny, it's not funny. If they're trying to be serious, it's not serious. Like, it just kind of felt like, and my whole affinity for films all comes from the 80s. Like, I mean it's not that. I just didn't think it was a very good film.
I thought he did a good job though, being that humble hero. I like you said, I know you said it's like he seemed kind of wimpy in
you don't need to try to do your Bruce Lee impression. It just felt like, I mean, it was like,
well, it's this hero, like,
Yeah, but kind of like that, this. No Retreat, No Surrender, and that was like funny for all the wrong reasons, Like that movie's hilarious because of how bad it is. But this, I just felt like was just, I didn't get any pleasure out of it. The only positive thing I could say about the film was at the climax when he's fighting Shogun, and like they throw in all the special, like the light effects when they're punching and kicking, and like that looked cool. But it's just a shame that I would have rather seen that in a better movie. But I'm not
gonna how they like to do the build up.
I just didn't like the film. It just felt
what a fun sucker. I kind
of not everybody likes it.
You guys, both you guys knew before you guys started. He's like, I don't think he's gonna. I could tell both you guys knew I was not going to like this film.
I kind of assumed as much. It's kind of like when Scott Pilgrim versus the World came out. I'm like, yeah, Tyler's gonna hate this.
I love it. Like, what are you talking about? I thought it was great.
I honestly found like similar parallels between that and this. I mean, yes, the stories are almost kind of completely different, but I liked it. I liked it a lot, actually. I enjoy the fact that it's kind sort of random to a degree. I don't know what's going on back there.
Someone disagrees.
Anyway, but I enjoy. I don't know. You say that it's random and stuff happening, but I look at it like we're kind of thrust into this world that's already been established. Like you have Leroy, who's the guy that loves Bruce Lee films, and then you got Shownuff, who's showing up constantly. It's like, you need to fight me. I'm ready to fight you.
And, yeah, because he's sick of the stories and wants to see is Bruce Leroy as good as he says.
But that felt so forced. It just like, look.
Not really. I didn't think it was forced. It was like, well, like you said, you didn't need to get like a ton of backstory.
No matter what.
No, it's like you didn't need to get to like the backstory of all that, but you knew obviously it's established. You have Bruce Leroy, who's always been doing those martial arts in the area. Shownuff, who is tired of hearing about him because he wants to see Izzy as bad as he says he is. Bruce Leroy, probably taking a humble approach, doesn't want to show and doesn't need to prove himself. But like you said, along this whole story and this journey, it's like, and things happening for a reason. Like I always say, that's how I believe in, you know, destiny and fate. I mean, him just walking by with Laura Childs when he first seen her for the first time, when she was getting into that limousine, and of course then saving her. But it's like his journey was not only his journey of life to find about, you know, being the master that it's always been within him, but I mean, he even found maybe possibly a woman of his dreams, a love that he never had. And it was a good blend. Yes, like I said, comedic moments that some could joke too, but I think it was a great mix of comedy. And even like in his, I like when they were in the studio when he's, you know, having his students he's training. And he has Johnny, the one guy, I remember, the art of fighting.
Johnny sucks. I will say that. Johnny sucks, but he's supposed to.
He's supposed to, because remember, he's like, you know how you taught us about the art of fighting without fighting? He's like, oh, I've, you know, developed the art of fighting without knowing how to fight. He's like, you know, when you think you, you know, somebody sees somebody that's Asian, you just got to give a look. And I admit, he put on a good show of looking like that. And at the end, when he was working the chucks and fighting, he did a great job. But I also remember seeing Ernie Reyes Jr. in there. I was like, man, this kid is badass. And then what's funny is I think like a year later, he popped up on a TV show called Sidekicks. And it was just so cool to see. It was like, man, I've never seen a little kid doing martial arts and being like a sidekick with some other guy. I couldn't even remember if he was a cop, because I'll be honest, I haven't seen Sidekicks, I think, since 1986 or 7. But I just remember when it was on, I was like, this kid, he's cool as shit. I don't know if you remember when he did that run and jumped in there and did that double kick, you know, boom, to those guys to the sides. It's like, he just made it look cool. It's because, you know, I always liked, it's like when I'd watch movies, and at that young age, it's not like I wanted characters that I could relate to. It's like I seen these adults or older people just kicking butt and thinking, man, it's like, hey, I could idolize him. Hey, he's cool. And then when I seen little Ernie Reyes Jr., I was like, damn, a little kid could do that? It made me think I could do that stuff. So just like a lot of connections in this movie I had that just I just always got a kick out of. But go ahead, Nathan.
Well, I like the beginning. Like the moment of the film that I knew that I was in and I knew that I was going to like it is when they're at the movie theater watching Enter the Dragon, and Shownuff shows up and he's like, all right, you know, everyone's getting pissed because he's interrupting the movie. And it goes, those two guys are up there on the balcony and they like take their shirts off. And that guy is just wearing like that really short. I'm just like, all right.
Gotcha.
When Shownuff confronts Leroy and he's just sitting there eating popcorn with his chopsticks and everything, I'm like, all right. Like, I know I'm in for a ride. I know is it cheesy? Yes. It's pure 80s cheese, but to me, it's the right amount of cheese. And there's so many people that are in this movie. I was like, holy shit, there's William H. Macy. That's a sweet jacket. He's in there for, like, what, 2 seconds? It's like a...
Yeah, just to deliver that message or something. Yeah.
But, and I like the idea, too, that it's also... that time period of your MTV VJs, like that, the popularity of MTV, having the music videos, having the attractive ones, like throwing to the, but like her shit's terrible when she's singing and doing her stuff. That was bad. Now the one song, what is it? DeBarge, Rhythm of the Night. That's a good song. That's a good song. When that came on, I was like, holy shit. Like I haven't heard that song in a while. So I was like, yeah, that's awesome. But like her parts stuck. I would say kind of as a whole too, Vanity was kind of, she was kind of iffy a little bit, and honestly,
I didn't flip over the song.
To me, just looking at her, hot. No, I
found her, and it's still doing incredibly hot. Good God, it's just the singing. I'll admit, I didn't flip over when she was singing. I was like, who cares? But I had a thing. Still, though, it's a shame. I think she passed away a couple years ago yeah. too. I think, it's sad. But, no, I mean, just the thought of, like you said, it was like music videos being hot, breakdancing being hot, martial arts being hot. They figured Berry Gordy figured I'll throw it all in one movie.
I guess that's where Tyler's kind of getting the whole, it's just random without much of a story. I guess I see that because it's like, all right, we got to take this and this and this. We got to throw all this shit in here. But to me, it worked.
I mean, it did give us. It had a story that did work. I mean, Eddie Arcadian and being obsessed of wanting to get his talent, getting his girl Angela to, you know, have her video on there, which she was horrible. It was cool seeing when she chewed him out at the end, then too, and then left him. But yeah, he's just obsessed. I mean, he's like the king of the video games or something. It's like, I want to get into this too, and you know, it's all about money. Even like he could, you know, when he was trying to back his fighter Rock. You know, I think that was the guy that was in Dumb and Dumber.
Mike Starr. Yeah, Mike Starr. Yeah, when he popped up, I was just like, holy shit. It's like, how the hell they know I got gas? And then Emily's ha, ha, ha. I'm like, you know what that's from, right? We got to watch that movie.
What, she doesn't like Dumb and Dumber,
She doesn't like Dumb and Dumber. Well, it's been a while, I think, since she's watched it, but she's convinced that she doesn't like it. I'll convince her otherwise. She'll like that movie, damn it.
I guess I always like little quotes. See, the thing is, the quotes, they're meaningless. I definitely know they're meaningless to Tyler and probably even you, Nathan. But just, we used to
mock. Just my Converse.
We always like saying something like, I would like to see her. You know, when he was wanting to see Laura Charles and his little brother kept mocking him. I remember there was just a thing that went on school for the longest. Everybody did the smartest, like, I would like to see her. It was so annoying, but I started hearing these things and it just was giving flashbacks. I like when she was trying to swoon him because she didn't know, like, what can I do to make this guy like me? Because, of course, she wanted Leroy to be her bodyguard at 1.2. But when she put that Bruce Lee video up for him to see, it's like, oh, now you got his attention. And then, since he's never been with a girl or even kissed a girl, I like that when he seen Bruce Lee kiss, you know, the girl. And
this is how you do it.
Yeah, this is how you do it. He went in for it. It's like, it was a dream. And like I said, Vanity, she was just the hot thing back then. So we all thought we were Bruce Leroy. We all wanted, damn, I wish I could get Vanity. So there's a little connection like that there. I guess that's the other thing, too. But go ahead. Back to you, Nathan.
Tyler. Tyler's just, I've said my piece.
I told you, I didn't have anything else to say. Like, I just don't have, I didn't want to spend the time like trashing a film that Joe loves. Like,
let's get to the part two where she's leaving her show from the studio Seventh Heaven, right? Is that also the name of the show? I can't remember.
Some of the top hit music hits. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, because it had a.
Yeah, it might be.
Laura
anyway.
Charles. I thought it was Laura Charles top hit something. Oh, God. No, I can't remember.
I'm assuming the studio is Seventh Heaven. But anyway, when she's leaving there and, you know, the goons are coming after her that. Arcadian is sent, and what was it? Leroy, he's sitting on the outside because his little brother's like, I don't want you kind of like messing this up, and he notices that, and he goes and he helps. Like, when there was that little razz with those guys, was that enjoyable for you at all, Tyler? None of the other fight stuff aside from the end fight?
He's trying to do a really bad Blue Sea impression. It just takes you out of the moment of like, are we supposed to take the... Like I said, the tone of the film comes off like, are you trying to be silly or are you trying to be serious? Because you're doing both pretty poorly. Like, if you're trying to spoof the Bruce Lee films, you're not very funny. And if you're trying to be serious, you just kind of like roll your eyes at, you know, when him trying to do his best Bruce Lee impression and trying to talk like he's Oriental. And I don't find it stereotypical or offensive. It just sounds like I don't think you need to talk like that. Man. You know,
I keep checking my phone just in case I'm getting any messages about Tyler being grumpy bottoms.
The thing is, I always looked at it, same thing with me. It's like, I think when he was looking at it, it's like, yeah, Bruce Lee's his idol. And I don't like really think he's trying to emulate completely talk like Bruce Lee, but take some of the principles and the goodness of the martial arts and what he's seen of Bruce Lee in certain movies. And he idolizes him. So yeah, he is probably just like any kid back then. When there's a hero you do, and then maybe in your mind, you're one to emulate to a degree. And of course, it's never going to be perfection, but he takes it. He takes the tones of it, the humbleness, maybe obviously not, you know, just being a bully to beat up people, not wanting to put on a show, like even in his
dojo. I'm talking about how he talks, how he talks.
Oh yeah, oh no, I know like what you mean.
Yes, yeah, I'm not talking about.
I think his normal voice to me when I first heard it, I was kind of like, to me, it sounded more of channeling, sort of like Michael Jackson being like very soft
spoken. Yeah,
but I didn't have. I don't know. I didn't have an issue with that at all.
No, no, and I didn't either. It's like I said, it's like a soft spoken, but it's also not even just Bruce Lee, but probably, as you could see, it's something different compared to everybody else that he's around. Obviously, nobody is wanting to talk, act like him, and do the martial arts. He's absorbed it so much. He's obviously been with his master so many years. And then maybe even, you know how it is, you're around a certain area so long, and that's how everybody speaks that you're maybe you're with. Maybe you just start speaking that way. So I think it's just like he was trying to, almost in a way, it's an honor, a way of maybe just speaking a certain way. And maybe he did start thinking, hey, he was like, you know, maybe I am part Asian. You never know. It's just, that's what I mean. I think just the mix of it worked, how he was speaking. I understood the tone of it. But, it's like you said, soft-spoken, speaking a certain way, and then having kind of good code of honor. He didn't want to put on that show and beat like people up in his own dojo when, you know, Shonuff and his gang came in there. But then when he grabbed, when they grabbed Johnny. And
yeah, because
like,
Johnny fucking ruined everything.
Yeah, Johnny did ruin it. You're right. Johnny did ruin it. And so then he had to bow down to kiss his feet, like you said. But of course, then he kicks him in the face. But I liked it. It's like, it shows how when you poke a bear, like, you know, even though you know you're not supposed to do something like, you know, don't ever hit a woman. And, you know, he wasn't going to, but like they were screwing with him. And then when that one popped him in the face, it's like then you've seen like that kind of like martial arts come out, like the aggressiveness, like it's a reflex. Like you hit, you know, I'm going to take it. You can stand in front of me, do something, but you touch me, I might snap.
Yeah, I feel like anybody's like that. You know, if someone hit me, I'm ready to go. If someone like spit in my face, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And I liked it just to show his control. But you're right. When he gets to the climax at the end, I mean, the whole time you're wanting him to fight Shonuff. You want to see what's going on. And then when Shonuff had that kind of, when he had his glow and was fighting back, especially when you thought he was done, it's like, oh shit. And then when he's shoving Leroy's face in there, asking who the master is. And then he starts having all the flashes of what his master said and what Laura Charles said to him. And then he realized, I'm the master. He didn't need to look no further. It's right here. And then he had the glow when he did that shit. Oh, man, I just remember people losing their minds. And also, Who Dat Whale was really into that damn movie in the chat room. He loved it, too. So there you go, man. But go ahead, Nathan. Back to you.
Oh, you did see this in theaters, right? I had a Joe moment where I kind of forgot.
Yes. Okay. All right. Oh, God, yeah. That's what I mean.
Just the one time, or did you go back multiple times?
No, once. It's the only movie, you already know, the only movie I've seen more than once, I've seen three times, was Freddy versus Jason. So that's saying something, because I know you guys hate that.
Yeah, that tells me all I need to know.
That tells me everything you need to know. But no, I remember this in the theater. And that's the thing. I always have such vivid memories of the crowd. The atmosphere sometimes really just gets you into a movie. And I just remember people freaking out and loving it. And you feed off of it. I don't know. But yeah, it's a movie, like I said, from people who grew up with it, it's always widely celebrated. I never heard anybody hate it, but I can understand when people seen it years later have never
until
seen it before.
Today.
I can understand everything. No, I can see what Tyler means. I can understand
his point. I'm not saying I don't like it for the reason everybody else has said it. I'm looking at strictly what's supposed to be an 80s action film. And I, you know, like I said, it just doesn't.
I wouldn't even qualify. I don't know. To me, I don't.
It really feels like, I mean, everyone's trying so hard, almost like it's a caricature. Like you kind of feel like everyone, that's what everyone is in the film. Like they're caricatures or like of archetypes in films, but they're trying to either be so over the top it's funny, or they're trying really hard to be. You know, I don't know. I just, you know, no matter what I say, I mean, I'm not. My purpose is not to deliberately. Like side against you guys on this, like
you ain't gotta like it. I understand.
No, I'm just saying, like, that's my natural take on it. It just felt so incoherent in that they were trying so hard to be funny or trying so hard to be tough. You're like, this kind of comes off like they're trying to spoof it, but I'm like, they're not trying to spoof it. That's where I felt like the tone is kind of all over the place. You know, when Shonuff is trying to act tough, you're like, he's really trying so hard to be like almost like it's a spoof, but he's not.
I think he worked. His worked for me. His was the best. I think of just being the badass. I thought it was absolutely perfection for him. The ones that I got a kick out of that were like a spoof of a spoof is how Barry Gordy wrote it for. Remember Bruce Leroy? I mean, in the movie, it's just, well, he's black in the movie. We know in real life he has black and Italian, but in the movie, black. But he speaks like he's Asian. So when he goes to some dumb guy and there's the three Asian guys who are talking like their stereotype of black. Remember when he went the next time, he's acting like a pizza guy and he's trying to figure out what should I say? And he's trying to figure out how to talk like he's black. He's like, hey, my man, what it look like? And he's like, hey, my man. It's like he doesn't know how to speak how stereotypically somebody black would speak in the movie. And Barry Gordy, I remember just how he wrote that. It was funny, but I know how some people could almost find it offensive saying, oh, they thinking that's how black people talk and how Asian people talk.
Well, that's probably like, how they would look at it now.
Watching. Yeah, now. Then, though, in the 80s, and then, just no like one I said, cared. It worked.
No one cared right, then, back then. Can we go back to that time when people weren't so offended by every single little thing?
You know what's crazy? Just to do our little quick side rant, it's like sometimes I don't even know if I want to say hello to people because I remember I think it was at Myers. No. Kroger. There was somebody where it walked by. I walked by a lady. I let her go first. I said, you have a good one. She was like, why do I have to have a good one? I was like, I'm sorry. And then I kept going. I was like, what the hell was that about? But I've heard people, like you said, nowadays, it's like you can't even say, hey, how you doing? Nice day. It's like, is everything offensive? I was like, I'm not doing this to like try to belittle or make it feel like, hey, I'm being a valiant guy and you go ahead of me. It's like, I'm just being nice. I'm being courteous. I do this with men and women when I see them. You might hold the door, say something nice. It's like, what the hell has happened where you can't even say something nice without it becoming offensive? I was like, now that's kind of weird. That shit's bizarre. I don't know if you guys experienced that, but this is just nuts.
I try not to. That's why I go to self-checkouts and everything. I want to avoid all that. But Joe, I did want to ask you this. Were you the guy that attacked the McDonald's employee because he didn't get a straw? Was that you?
I did not hear this. I'll tell you a story, but go ahead. Where did this happen?
It happened in Florida. Did you make a trip to Florida from parts unknown? Yeah, okay. Apparently this guy got pissed off because there was not a straw with his order, and he went and grabbed the cashier and was just like really mad about it, and I thought about you.
Well, that wasn't me, but I'll let you know Toledo did make the news years ago for Chicken McNuggets. I think there was that white lady who went through a drive-thru. She wanted chicken nuggets.
What? She got to be white, Joe.
She was white.
What are you trying to say about white people there, Joe?
No, she was white. I didn't mean that. I just meant she was white.
I'm offended.
We all know what you meant here.
Okay. Well, like I said.
But white people, like, they want them chicken McNuggets there.
All right. Well, let me say this lady went through a drive-thru.
Well, why does it got to be a lady, Joe? Why can't it be a dude?
See, that's
yeah, why can't it be a person, Joe? Why does it have to be, yeah.
I mean, at this point, I'll let Joe continue his story, but at this point, like, come on, people. I was gonna say guys, but then it's just like
everybody.
Don't stop hanging on every single little word. Words are words, all right? Like, yeah, some of them are bad, and there's just shit you shouldn't say to people. But if we're gonna narrow it down now, where it's like. Guys is used as a unit, like all encompassing, like there are people here, you say guys, people just do that. It's not a thing. I'm like, oh, it's stupid. Like, no, people when are so dumb being, with that.
No, I mean, you're right. When people are being obviously offensive, yes, we know when that is. But when somebody is just genuinely just saying something nice or just holding the door for you or not doing this with any intentions in mind, it's like, that's nothing to flip over for. But no, so. Yeah, somebody went to a McDonald's drive-thru and they wanted chicken nuggets, but they didn't. It was breakfast time. They said, it's breakfast. I believe that's how it was. You can YouTube this. I think that's how it went. It was breakfast. This woman snapped, screaming, reaching through the drive-thru, trying to attack the person into the window that was working there. This woman, so after you're done with this podcast, go ahead and say, chicken McNugget drive-thru freak out. You're going to see this woman went insane. And she
because
was
she wanted nuggets and it was breakfast time.
I believe that's how it was. She wanted nuggets.
It's like, just wait till 10:30. Just wait.
Yeah, but you never hear people bitching about they want lunch. It's always they want breakfast, though. Like
usually you're right.
Yeah, it's like falling down.
Yeah, exactly. Or Big Daddy. Oh,
Big Daddy.
Shit.
I thought it was always 11 or something.
Like, probably every like weekday morning for Joe Amato when he goes like, I want hotcakes and sausage. Oh, whore shit. You know, and throws a fit.
Because what was it?
Fries and throws them off to the side and.
You know, yeah, because didn't he think that the
cut off? Joe Amato.
didn't he think the cutoff time was like 11, but it ended up being 10:30 or something that he freaked out? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, just wait till 10:30 to get your fucking chicken nuggets. My God.
Yeah, so that was a freak out, but no.
And McDonald's nuggets aren't that good anyway.
Chick-fil-A is the best.
If you're gonna get chicken nuggets, Chick-fil-A, and then Wendy's, like McDonald's, and it leaves that aftertaste in your mouth too.
They do smell good though.
They do smell good.
They smell wonderful though.
But they're not all that, man. They're not.
And hello to. I want to say hello to Yanish and JSP in the chat room. JSP said, I know some of you guys in the chat listen to them, but do you three listen to Clownfish? Is that a new group? I didn't know if that was. He'll have to elaborate.
You'll have to elaborate on that. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, but even at the beginning, like the one part when Shonuff was sitting there talking to Leroy when he was in that movie theater, and he was like, yeah, you know, he wanted to test him, see, you know, about the guy who can catch a bullet with his teeth. And of course, you know, at the end, he catches a bullet with his teeth when Eddie Arcadian shot that gun at him. Everybody else thought that was kind of cool because we thought he did get shot. And then when that happens, like, oh, yeah, I remember that earlier in the movie. Yeah, it's just this damn fun, just movie you can sit back, watch any of the time. You want to have a good action movie with some just some fun. You could always watch that.
Well, when Shonuff was on the screen and he started talking, I was like, is that Angela's dad from Boy Meets World? So I looked it up and I'm like, sure enough, it is. Aha. See what I did there? Anyway. Got a million of them. But no, I like sure enough. I like the portrayal, and I like, it's, to me, it's perfect campiness villain to me. Just he acts tough, but he's also kind of chicken shitty. Because anytime like Leroy sort of wants to step up to him, it's like he kind of backs off and he'll kick everyone else's ass. I don't know. It's
you know what I did? That's the one thing I didn't know. Julius Carey, the guy who did play Shonuff, I think they interviewed him before, and I guess he was annoyed that they were wanting him to do a lot more of the stunts in the movie than he was expecting, because, you know, he's always said he was just, you know, an actor, never doing a role like this. He never did a lot of action. So he was just kind of shocked there, wanting him to do as much stuff in there as he did. He was expecting more stunt guys or something to do that work. So I guess I don't know if that's his only role, if he's ever done his only role in an action movie. I'll be honest, I don't know. But I just remember, look, you know, the thing is, I always thought, and he never said it, but I always felt like, I remember when Booker T and Harlem Heat first came around, and I'd see Booker T and the way he'd talk and act sometimes, almost thought he was like emulating or getting something from Shonuff from The Last Dragon. It makes you wonder. I don't know. I'd love it if I could always find something.
I mean,
like that,
yeah, that's certainly a possibility, because I know just, with it being sort of popular and having that cult status, I could definitely see Booker T kind of stealing a few things.
And I think it'd be cool as I. He's like, I hope not. I have a feeling. I don't know. I just can picture it. But I think there'd be some cool ass action figures if they'd have Shonuff and Ty Mock. And oh man, I love some goddamn action figures. We got to get somebody to do it. NECA would be perfect, I think, for putting those out.
Come on, NECA. Actually, no. Before you do that, give me my Jason Takes Manhattan figure. Damn it.
You know, I started a damn page on that years ago, and it got a lot of support, but nothing's ever happened. And all I ever got back. Oh, and I did. I had some of the people that worked from NECA. They messaged me back, and they said, there's just not enough interest in that movie to want a figure yet.
That is bullshit.
And that's what I said. I was like, and then
you release
later, we get Roy. We get Roy.
You released the figure from part five, easily the worst one in the entire like 8-movie run. And no.
Like, I don't care how much people want to mock part eight or think, oh, it's kind of corny. It's like, I fucking love Jason Takes Manhattan. It's a great movie. All of them are great, but this one, that has one of the most unique looks of Jason, that slimy, wet, the extra yellowed mask. It's like, release this figure. I don't care if you don't think people didn't like the movie. We'll buy that damn figure.
You should just customize one, Joe. That's what you should do.
I don't like that. Yeah. Why? Yeah. You know, I'd rather have an official. I'm sorry, we went side ranted.
It's not Smurf, Jason. That's what it is.
Yeah, as Tyler would say, I turn everything into a damn Smurf before I make him his hero
Smurf
or anything.
Into like, oh, it's Smurf He-Man. It's Smurf Lion-O. It's Smurf Cobra Commander. You know, it's Smurf She-Ra. It's Smurf Timok. It's Smurf this. Smurf that. Like, God, man, can you?
Like, Joe, can we see Hero in my form? No, I got to do some more Smurfs.
Yeah, or Joe is like, hey, I'll would you like to see that? I'd like that brown lizard man. Nah, I don't have time for that. I can turn him into a Smurf, though. I can do that by tomorrow.
Hey, I could do a brown lizard man if you ever wanted. I could even card him up for you, give him glasses. I could give him the glasses. I give him a book. I give him his whole spiel right there. I can write a new origin for him too if you want, and I'll card him up for you just for
yeah, lizard man, the beefcake of the Masters of the Universe.
What did you say about the bio?
I said I'm dying for you, someone to offer to like write a new bio for Lizard Man.
I'll do it. I'll write a new bio for that. I'll write one for the Brown Lizard Man.
Incorporate Jason into it and all kinds of like little hokey things. This is Joe's universe.
I won't do that, I promise. But I'll pass it back to you, Nathan, before we could do any wrapping up on this. But go ahead, Nathan. Back to you.
No, I some of the other notes that I had is, you know, seeing Rudy from The Cosby Show playing Little Sister was kind of cool. It was fun to just see these people that I recognize from other things.
Yeah.
And it's weird, it's still weird to me that just William H. Macy was in this for a brief period of time. But one observation I had was, how many D batteries did Leroy's brother waste in his ghetto blaster? Because he carried that thing around like everywhere. And I know those things take like 4 D batteries.
Not to sound old or anything, but did you ever carry one around back then yourself?
No, it was more of in the neighborhood when we were riding our bikes, we would just like have one just sitting there that would, but it had a cord and we just had it plugged
you
in
would
the
go
outlet outside.
No, when using the D batteries, you'd go through them a lot. Yeah, you would.
No, it's I know the D batteries don't last that long, period.
Just the thought of that. It's just, I never really think of that stuff. It's like, God, I mean, we used to have these gigantic boom boxes and then a smaller version, then the Walkman. It's like, boy, if people were caught dead with that stuff nowadays and be laughed at, they'd probably think, what the hell were you guys carrying around? That's how you listen to your music. You had this giant box that you'd carry around, but
you did that, didn't you, Joe?
Like everybody did.
Yeah, you know, well, I'm saying, like, you definitely had one on your shoulder carrying. You weren't
Not just gigantic, like bagging along.
Okay.
No, a small one. You take with you, and then we sat down, and we do whatever, wherever we're at, we'd have it right there. But you would carry, because you...
Are you sitting, like the ghetto streets of Toledo, like, on stoops and stuff like that, and, you know, just, like, doing all this kind of, like, you know, random, like, you know, smack-em, yak-em, and, you know, I'm just... Playing, you know, and Joe, for some reason, has, like, an afro. I'm like, why the hell does he have an afro?
Did you just say smack 'em, yak 'em? I can't believe. I always think airplane. Lay 'em down, smack 'em, yak 'em.
I pulled that directly from Airplane.
Oh my God! And that was all jive improvised talk that they did, and then they put like these subtitles. That wasn't even written. Those two actors both just started saying a slur of just.
Well, I'm picturing this mess. Joe is trying to like not say, but that's what he was doing on the streets of urban Toledo, Ohio. He just, you know,
we do it.
You know, at least that's how Joe wants to remember how it was done. When it was probably just, you know, riding on a little bike with a basket, ringing a bell,
picking fences.
It's like Pleasantville.
Yes, that's probably what Joe wants to think of himself as. Like, man, I grew up on the street, Joe.
That's great. Oh,
like,
my
Joe,
God,
you're about as white as Iron Kid's bread here, man. Don't even try.
I don't even try that. I should show you my yearbook photos and everything in the school.
Well, he somehow like photoshopped an afro in every one of his pictures and the mask. You know,
it's
like, oh, he's got that glazed look like Andy Dick did on. You know.
Oh my God. No. Yeah, I should. I can get you pictures of anything. My
you know,
high
frankly,
school.
I'm offended by how you think that you are something you're not. I want you to take it back. I want a public apology of $500.
You're like, Joe, you're lying completely. Then I show all these photos of where I grew up and my high school and my house and my neighborhood.
And he's
and still
no,
and everything
he's
else.
Taking all these like pictures from like, you know, 1980s, you know,
yeah,
neighborhood.
And I put
and
myself
and
in there.
Himself, like just sticking his head out from behind like a back alley. You know, inside of a car like this, you know. I honestly would love it if Joe would take the time to Photoshop himself, just his mask, on someone walking out in an urban neighborhood of like New York in the early 1980s, and say, "This is you know, I'm like Joe Amato from the Bronx, like he's J-Lo or something like that, you know."
Oh my God!
Just
oh dear God!
Yeah, that's actually, you know what? That's actually a wonderful idea. Like, you make like Ringer T-shirts of like black and white, you know, Thug Life with Joe Amato, you know, like his face on somebody's body carrying a ghetto blaster.
Oh Jesus! I'm sorry, God. I don't have no water to drink too. You just got my throat terrible.
Oh. Yeah, now Joe's gonna be like, "All right, guys, wrap it up."
Yeah, I gotta get some McDonald's.
Well, I just want to say, JSP said, I guess that Clownfish, he said it's a channel on YouTube. And he said, you guys would love their take on Netflix She-Ra. Oh, I guess they must have mocked it. I'm hoping
that's interesting. I don't need to hear anybody else talk about that show. Less I hear about it, the better.
I'm the only one that's going to talk about it. And I thought that 16 minutes sucked. I want my life back.
And Who Dat Whale said, sure enough, should have played a villain in Breaking Electric Boogaloo. And then Giannis, here we go. You ready, Tyler? Giannis said, no tank top, Tyler? No, you didn't catch us from the beginning, Giannis.
He didn't catch us from the beginning. Yeah, so no, that doesn't bother me. If it's someone's like, hey, Tyler, did you finally like burst out all your tank top? Or something like that, you know.
Like, as long as he doesn't do any photoshopping of, like, you know, you looking like Bigfoot walking in the wild, like, look, we caught Tyler with something else beyond a tank top. And he's looking off to the side.
Yeah,
like
it's
that.
like a bad like picture of me in the podcast. Like,
yeah, like it's just like, and it's blurry too.
Yeah.
Is this real? Was that actually a spotting of Tyler without the tank top?
Or is that like an actual spotting of Joe Amato in the ghetto? You know, just.
You know what? I believe the tall tales. I can picture Joe sitting there on the stoop with his ghetto blaster playing. Shit, I don't know, Joe. What'd you really like back then? What was like your favorite tune?
I bet it's just we're all in the gang.
No, Joe strikes me as a Prince guy.
Oh, I love Prince. Windows Cried, everything. Purple Rain. Sexy motherfucker.
Prince.
I bet Michael
Joe
Jackson.
Did wear like a Purple Rain shirt like Mouth did in the Goonies all the time. Like he's walking around, going to get groceries, helping old ladies across the street wearing his Purple Rain t-shirt. And yeah, I can see.
Well, the thing is, I actually did have really tight black leather pants like Michael Jackson with all the zippers. And everybody, when they were doing like their one break dance, there was this part where they said, he can pop and he can swerve. Now we'll pass it to Joe to do his curve. And I used to do this thing where I did my curve like this and everybody got a kick out of it. So, yeah, I used to do a curve. And yeah,
Man. So, break dancing, Joe. Someone needs to make that an action figure.
I mean, who? Like I said, it's just
these Joe variants, Happy Meal stealing Joe.
Yeah, how come NECA hasn't signed a deal with Joe Amato? If they love the forking out variant after variant after variant, I mean, they can make it have a field day with Joe Amato.
Whew, it'd be nonstop. It could be. I could do a I'd be a variant king. So many different versions of things like that.
Joe, we have Ghetto Blasting Joe, Morning McDonald's Joe. You know,
video
game Joe. Look at me, I'm the best at video games. You suck at video games.
San Diego Comic-Con Spider-Man jacket. That's the only way you can get that.
That's exactly. A Comic-Con has to have that. And
a detachable power glove. You can take off Joe's like left hand and put on the power glove. Is like his.
I like it.
Piece.
We could have an exclusive to Dollar Tree would be the dumpster diving Joe. Just like, you know,
yeah. That would be fantastic. Like, yeah.
Wait. And it's also when you buy them all, it also has pieces for Build-A-Figure for King Coupon.
Yeah. Oh shit.
Who'd have thought Joe Amato lends itself to like figure building and variants, like his own action figure line. You know, variations of the mask, the scars, the shirts, the hoods, and I mean, it comes with like, you know, variant colors of like Dollar Tree headphones. You can like detach to the head. You know?
Hey, I like that. Yeah, there would be that rare variant where you can lift up. You can see that scar on my chest.
Or if
where
you buy
the
Dollar Tree, you
rock.
Get a free pair of headphones with every figure you buy of Joe Amato. You know, and a free, you know, yeah. El Monterey burrito.
I like it.
No, the El Monterey burrito, there's a coupon on the back of the card that you can clip
out.
You have
to mail it away.
Yeah.
It's like Kool-Aid points. You know, you got Joe's face on the like little square you cut out in the back.
Oh, Jesus.
Joe,
oh, shit. Well,
Kool-Aid.
I always love my Kool-Aid. Yeah.
Hey, no. Kool-Aid's good. My mom.
I like Kool-Aid. I used to drink a lot as a kid.
My mom also used to do the things because they came out with those specific like Kool-Aid pops that you could like do the Kool-Aid thing, like mix it in there and then put the dispenser in and then put it in the freezer and you get your own like Kool-Aid popsicle. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember those.
Yeah, good times.
We sent away. We got those Kool-Aid plastic little cups that look like the Kool-Aid man in the pitcher when you send in so many points. So yeah, we still got that.
Still do that shit?
I think there's
know?
Still like those points are still on the back of those packets. I think.
Hell yeah! I wonder what you can redeem them for now, or if there's like still cool shit. Because that's how I got Dr. Mario
from 1990. Yeah, just like You want it, you can have it.
It's still good.
Yeah.
Well, that, I was going to say, Nathan, before we wrap it up, obviously you give your points. I mean, we know, I completely understand respect. There's no sense of Tyler giving a rating on this because, I mean, I know it's not your movie.
I'm being, you know, segregated already. Am I, you know, is that
what you're me? Five stars.
Of opinion. Mine doesn't matter anymore.
No, you didn't like it. Fuck you. Get out of here.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, I just love the damn movie. I've always loved it. People in the chat room loved it. So I'm giving it a five. I always love this damn movie. And Nathan, I know yours will be lower, but you can go ahead and give it.
Yeah, I'm. Joe's just assuming everything on this show. It is going to be lower. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. Okay. I don't know. I like it. It's
1 out of 5 there, Nathan.
Because it's not something that I was completely just, oh my God, like blown away by, but it had its charm, even if it is kind of sloppy and there's just a lot of shit thrown in, like stuff we also didn't mention. Angela kind of comes across as like a Madonna Cyndi Lauper hybrid. Ugh. More or less, like the Cyndi Lauper hair and then like some of the outfits she was wearing.
Well, she looked like Cyndi Lauper too in the face.
Yeah. But like she was also wearing like the lacy stuff that I remember Madonna used when she did Like a Virgin at the MTV Video Music Awards back in 85. I can't remember the exact date on that, but and then Leroy's parents having the pizza place and showing up and like just wrecking it. I don't know, it's got a lot of charm. It's
yeah, I remember fun. Looking for him and he was like, oh, you mean Junior? Yeah. Junior.
Yeah. And then like breaks that the TV jukebox machine.
And then they had to kick the damn door on the way out. They took the pizza and the pizza and then he kicks the door and breaks. It's like, oh God, you guys destroyed it enough. You know, I just looked down and I seen that I am actually kind of animating a little better than normal. It ain't as choppy.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, yeah, I'm looking down, still not wearing pants.
I'm still wondering. I got to ask FedMom because I don't think he's here anymore, but did I ever mention about not wearing pants or something? Or
we just assume that you don't wear pants.
Okay, it's like, I don't know. Well, here's the bizarre thing. I mean, I am wearing shorts now, but they're not underwear shorts. They're just short shorts. They're shorts.
They're short shorts?
No,
they're
no.
Cut off jeans. It's like the toilet.
It's
like
back when he was a kid and they were wearing.
Kind of like in a sleepaway camp where like the guys on the baseball field like just cut off.
Yeah, no. Joe was saying like that. Oh. They wore that. That was their style back then.
Yeah. We did.
Joe's
we
wearing
had
like the cutoff shirts.
Yeah, no, yeah, he was wearing the cutoff shirts and everything too.
Yeah, with the number on there.
We had cut. Yeah, what was that? I think it was like there was a stupid tough guy shirt or something I used to have, and it was a gray one with some weird little logo. And I remember it was kind of cut off and short, so it was like just coming down under, like almost to where your ribs start or something. I don't know. It was, God, what a goofy shirt. Man, we used to wear those inflated pants and shit. God, we wore the goofiest stuff.
I mean, people these days still wear goofy.
Oh, hell, compared to what people wear today, I look back at the stuff that was worn in the 80s and early 90s, like, hell, why can't we go back to wearing that as opposed to what, you know, goofy
some things.
Today?
Yeah, some things.
Well,
I'd
love for the women to go back and have like the big hair, the shoulder shirts, and the neon color stuff. And hell, I'd love that.
Oh, wait. Hold on. FedMom just popped up. FedMom said, we were told in one podcast that you were not wearing pants, that it was too hot. It was during the summer.
Yeah, that's when Joe's in his phase where it's like it's hot, but he doesn't want to turn on the AC. So he's just going to take his pants off.
Yeah, and this mask was like melting. And then I never told you guys that beyond how it would kind of bleed here and get faded. I would take off the mask. I remember I went in the mirror and I seen all this red and it was kind of like running down my face. So that's why sometimes I was taking
is
this.
It works as a good... I was like, what am I dying? I'm just looking, yeah. Like fingernails are coming off. Oh, God.
And that's why this works to wipe my face sometimes because when it gets too much, I don't want that going to my eyes. At one time, it burned my eyes. So when I feel the sweat coming,
God, Joe.
What the hell kind of paper are you using for your mask? It was burning your eyes.
Well, I mean, he's got the ink on there, so it's going to seep through there.
Yeah, and that's when I tried to double it up with that other mask, but then that made it too it wasn't breathable. It was weird. So I was like, I had to go back to my single thing here. So if I could find a way of it not bleeding, I'd like that. But okay. So what do you want to say, Nathan, to everybody in the chat room? Again, thank you for joining us and all this stuff. And you give them all the things they need to do.
Tyler, hit us with your star rating.
I'm taking stars away from this film, man.
He's like, it ain't worth my time. This ain't getting done.
In all seriousness, though, I get why it has a cult following. Like, I'm not blind to, like, why people would like it. I just felt like it was just, you know, I don't feel like it's like, well, you should have saw it when you were younger. Like, I don't feel like that's the case at all. I just didn't think it was just a very not your good thing. Film. Just yeah, not, just it's just you. Not my kind of movie. I mean, it's, yeah. And that's, wrong with that's that. Really about it. So,
yeah.
Yep.
Yep. I mean, I'm jumping Jeff Farmer all over this film.
Yep. Oh, and I was going to say before Nate.
Force. I'm going full force. You're trying to cheat me out of what's mine.
Before Nathan does Joe, close do you know it up, I did. I'm afraid I don't. What was it?
Oh, it's the Jumpin' Jeff Farmer wrestling promo. It's like, yep, you got me mad now.
He's wearing like, who's this, like Jumpin' Jeff? Like great.
It's some promotion. Like, yeah. In some, the 80s. Yeah. Like, the guy's like, we're here with Jumpin' Jeff Farmer. What do you got to say about Motley Crue?
Motley Crue
attacking you. And he's like, yep. And then it's like a pause. And he just looks sad the whole time. He's like he's about like to
he's
cry.
He's never cut a promo before.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up when we're done here, then. I'll make sure I look it up.
That's why we're telling you what it is. So.
He's like, yeah, you ain't going to do it, Joe. But before
he's not going to do it.
He's like, he's not. No, I will. I will. I promise. No, I don't lie. No, if I ever say I promise, I'm going to. So I promise.
I've heard that shit before. I'm going to promote the show. I promise.
Just king of empty promises. You know that, man?
Well, before Nathan wraps it up, I wanted to...
And falling off fingernails and podcasts with no pants.
I wanted to remind everybody tonight, of course, tune into Fans of Power. And after Fans of Power, there's going to be a Beyond Retro Arcade. It's immediately after Fans of Power, and Nathan will probably put a link in the chat, I'm sure. And it's going to be for Nathan playing some games, but I sent him a bottle of hot sauce. Not the hottest hot sauce in the world. So I don't know.
It says it's insane. Insanity.
It says it's insane. Yeah, but there is plenty of hot sauces that are hotter, but I wanted to see how Nathan and Emily can take it. So they're both going to do this live for the first time tonight. Got to see their reactions live. This should be pretty good. And yeah,
I don't do that well with hot stuff, really. I'm already, you know, if it's hot and it's got a kick to it, I'm like, all right. But if it's like insanely hot and it's gonna like burn my tongue and shit, then.
Well, you said you'd give it a shot.
Is it gonna make my asshole burn when I take a shit, Jim? No, that's what I want to know.
Like he's gonna tell you, yeah.
Is it gonna be like eating a whole bottle of jalapenos?
Well, here's the thing. I'm the wrong person to ask that because I've had hot sauce since I was a kid, so I've never had this.
Milk to him. It is. Hot sauce in a bottle.
It's just being honest. Like I said, I've been just drinking it since I could remember. So I got build up.
Street cred back in the streets, you know, of the age. It's like, he drinks hot sauce straight out of the bottle, man.
Yeah, it's like catching a bullet. Catching a bullet with your teeth.
Yeah. Like, it's an urban myth around the ghettos, you know?
Well, that's like I said, remember, I got Booby and Punkin. I got Booby and Punkin with that hot sauce. The one that you're going to have, this is the one that had them freaking out. So that's why I want to see your reaction.
Oh, so they didn't take well to this?
No, they didn't. So I just want to see how you
I was doing some research, and it did say that this hot sauce was banned from some sort of a food competition back in the 90s. So I'm like, great.
I'm not setting you up. I promise I'm not setting you up. I really am not.
That's fine, Joe.
This is
I'll make sure to have a glass of milk. I don't even drink milk.
It's payback for you being so nice to him and sending him all those gifts.
Yeah. It's like, oh, hey, you got me this tablet and these earbuds. How about some hot sauce?
You're
going to be in pain.
I wonder if it's like hot sauce he had in his fridge that just hadn't been finished off yet. Like,
it's sealed. It is sealed.
Yep.
Oh, and you packaged that like perfectly. When we took it out of the package, I was like, holy shit, how big is this bottle? But then you just unravel everything, and it's like, you know, I mean, it's still a decent-sized bottle, but just compared to what it was wrapped in, it was like...
There was no way I wanted that to break.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bubble-wrapped and protected the heck out of this. Like, I do not want this breaking. And I actually went to Meijer's, and I spent $6 on that bottle of hot sauce. So that's some good hot sauce, which you're getting.
Damn, you spent more on shipping than you did on the bottle of hot sauce.
He could have bought a pair of headphones for that price.
You don't have to now.
Oh, you don't have to but.
Yeah, I would have, Tyler. Honestly, I was going to send stuff to you, but I thought you said you didn't like hot stuff, so that's why I didn't do it.
No. I have acid reflux. It does not work. Even before I had it, I don't do it.
Yeah, not only that, but Tyler is like one of the pickiest eaters ever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
He doesn't. Okay. He doesn't eat vegetables, man.
Nope.
No vegetables. Like what?
Nope. Oh, no vegetables.
Oh well, shit. I mean, you ain't gotta like everything. That's yeah, no problem. God, I'm thinking about vegetables. Like I have peas, I have carrots, ugh, and tomatoes, and that's there's some things I can't eat at all. Like what the fuck is, I don't know, squash or something. And
not squash ain't bad. Zucchini's good.
Cabbage. Oh, cabbage is horrible. I hate cabbage. Oh, that's just.
I'm not a big fan of cabbage either.
Brussels sprouts.
Asparagus is fine. It just makes your piss smell.
I don't like that either. I don't like it at all. Quickly, does Emily like hot stuff? Because I'm curious how she's going to handle it.
She's always then like, she I think she'll be fine. Because there was this one time that she made like this chicken, but she put like jalapeno spice like inside. It was like a sort of like a chicken roll wrap-esque kind of thing. But instead of the normal jalapenos, she got like the canned stuff from Kroger, and it was too much. Like I ate it and I was just like, oh my god. And even she was like, yeah, this is too much. And then
I'm hoping you guys are okay,
Mike, the next 2 days, Joe.
Well, just to let you know, the jalapeno is, I believe, the weakest out of all the peppers on the Scoville's chart of all the levels. Jalapeno is like the weakest, like 5,000 level of Scoville.
Well, that's just one jalapeno. Now, if you're eating a bunch of jalapenos with your food, then obviously, I guess I'm going to be in trouble. We're going to see how
what you goes. Have. I think yours might be at 1,000,000. I'm not sure if it was 1,000,000 or what, but the Scoville level is going from 5,000 jalapeno to what you have in that hot sauce is 1,000,000. I think, right. But I might be wrong.
Well, I'll go tonight. I'll go to McAdoo's, get some buffalo wings. So I'll probably actually do that while you guys are doing Fans of Power. Make the call, go pick those up, have them so they're kind of like hot and fresh and ready.
Okay. And have some milk ready for you.
Oh, yeah. No, I will.
Do not drink water.
I feel like I'm going to have to.
Don't drink water. Remember, it makes it spread. It makes it worse. So do not touch water. Have milk. Maybe have a little bit of a banana, too. But, yeah, prepare yourself. All right. But it was fun.
Why is this fun to have demon piss on your food? You know, I just...
Why
is this like, you know, people are just like, oh, God, more harder the better. I don't understand the fun in that.
Some people like me actually do like the taste, but there are idiots that just go for heat. And it's like, well, that's not even fun. I want to enjoy my food still. So with this hot sauce, I do enjoy my food because I do like the taste. But you're right. There's some morons that are like, oh, my God, this is the hottest thing ever. And they're sweating, they're coughing, they're dying. I'm like, oh, that looks like fun. It's like, I don't want to do that.
It's just like when you you get peppers, you get like one that's kind of like, it's got some kick to it and eat it with like steak. Oh man, that's good stuff. Mm. That's what Dad and I do. It's funny when Dad, like, he's like, yo, I got a hot one. You just see him just like, he's sweating and he's like dabbing his forehead. good stuff. But yeah, that'll be fun. Hopefully the quality will be good. I haven't decided. Might try to do a thing where like we just stream that, make it its own little thing, and then immediately after that, I'll go into video games. Yeah,
do that and tell everybody how to do it. But yes, do that, because the reason being is if you do the video game thing, you're going to be way down there. The resolution won't be good. So yeah,
I'll have it full screen. But yeah, you guys that are in the chat live, be on the lookout for that alert later on tonight. That'll be a good time. And thanks to you guys for joining us live, and I'm just going to go ahead and jump into the spiel. If you guys are new to the channel, make sure you hit subscribe, ring the bell so you get notified when we go live or when new videos are posted. Check out the links down below, beyondretropodcast.com. Buy Joe's t-shirts, hit them up for a custom, and check out Fans of Power, the He-Man of the Master Universe podcast, hosted by Joe Amato and Tyler Baker at youtube.com/fansofpowerpodcast. Joe's got a lunchbox.
Man, that's got to be one of my favorite images on a lunchbox. I know Tyler loves this one, too. Love that damn image on this.
It's my favorite one.
It is. God damn. The other one is the one I took to school more, but that's got to be my favorite image. Just had to say that.
Yeah, well, it's like that Marvel lunchbox that Tyler...
Secret Wars.
Yeah, that he keeps eyeing every time we go into that antique shop.
Oh, what do they charge for it? A couple hundred, I bet?
Yeah.
Well, it was like it was discounted, so you would have got it for under 100, but still expensive for a lunchbox.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful lunchbox. God, I want it so bad.
Oh well.
Yes.
But
your voice made me think like that Ninja Turtle porn.
Oh God. with that again. Jesus. Anyway, like this video, leave a comment down below. Let us know your thoughts on The Last Dragon. I imagine most of you guys liked it and you're not a curmudgeon like Tyler.
Yeah, I'm the black sheep as always, you know, because, you know, I have dignity and taste.
This ego's getting contained.
Well, I mean, it is tough being me. I mean, I know. I mean, I just felt like, you know, I'm the only one who thinks this way.
I'm sure there, as Joe said, there's other people that have watched this movie not having experienced it before and just like, nah, wasn't for me. And it wasn't for you, but I liked it a lot. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. Would I rewatch this at some point? Absolutely. Absolutely. No, yeah, I will.
But you won't. But Joe, Sandy's going to watch Jumpin' Jeff Farmer. He ain't going to do it, neither will you.
I'll send him the link in Messenger. But anyway, with that out of the way, until then, we will see you in the future to talk about the past.